every time on a Saturday, about this time every week, we invite into the studio a friend of the show to offer up some recommendations of interesting things to do here in the capital. So this week, friend of the radio station, Phil Dave, is in the hot seat for the very first time to get us thinking about some of the tourist attractions in London that we often overlook or put off for a rainy day and never visit. Go on then. I bet this is an open-top bus. Is that one of them?
No, well, actually, it's because I thought I'd leave that to Simon, because I know that
yes, he wouldn't dare.
I couldn't possibly rain on your parade when it came to buses. But I thought that maybe what we could start with is maybe one of the more obvious tourist attractions that most people do go to, but perhaps they don't even really appreciate that it is a tourist attraction, the South Bank. How often do you two frequent
the South Bank? And I do walk around, because South Bank is a great place to people watch. And there's huge amounts of statues. And I think if you walk into the Royal Festival Hall, if you don't find something free on in the foyer, you've picked a very unlucky day. There's always something going on.
And it's that bit, you know, we've been talking about Manhattan. And if anyone is familiar with New York, when you go the other side of the river, if you go to Brooklyn and look at Manhattan at the skyline, it's fantastic. And I feel like that in the South Bank. If you stand in the South Bank and look into London, you get everything, the best vista ever. So it does it for you.
And I'm really pleased that you said about the best place to people watch, because I genuinely thought it was just me who'd go there, park myself on one of the benches and just watch the world go by.
Last time I saw Simon Callow was in this building, in this studio, and the time before that was walking through the South Bank.
Do they still sell books outside the National Film Theatre?
They do indeed. The book market is still very much there. It goes on daily, apparently, depending on the weather, but from about 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily it is. And loads and loads of books. Now, I'm not the biggest bookworm, I've got to confess. I'm not very good when it comes to reading. But not that I can't read, I just don't make the time for it. But the point is that they have all of these different books that all of these people that were there were getting so excited by. So I can only assume they've got long forgotten titles that everyone must be after and can't find in your average bookshop. And they've also got, and I think you'd appreciate this, Simon, old maps of different areas. And it's really interesting to look at these maps and just see how areas have changed so dramatically. And when you compare it to years gone by, even 100 years ago, it looks like there's hardly any roads in certain areas. Whereas now, of course, you just can't escape.
I went into the Royal Festival Hall about a year ago, and I was making, you know, if you get caught on the phone and you think, I can't, and I didn't want to, it was so cold out, so I thought, I'll just step in here and carry on my phone call. And I walked upstairs and I sat down outside the main hall. It was during a morning on it, it was after the show on one Saturday, and they were rehearsing inside, some choral work. So I was on the phone and it was beautiful, and they were clearly rehearsing for that night. And so Royal Festival Hall, there's always works of art around there, and great places to go nearby as well. Yeah, fantastic. The South Bank.
Sorry, Phil, but in the Royal Festival Hall, there is, so I'm not trying to one-upmanship, but I just remember there are seats for kids to read books in that when you sit, they read a book out of the side of the chair. So the wings of the chair becomes a storyteller, and they can just sit, you can just leave them there and go off and have a coffee. Obviously, in these days of child abduction, you can't. You keep an eye on them. But from the other side of the coffee bar, you can watch them as they're listening to a story simply by sitting in a chair. Isn't that fantastic?
Well, I don't want to one-up you either, but
you have to fight for your space here.
I'm going to let you come back. The Royal Festival Hall has listed carpet.
Has it?
It's listed. So the carpet, when you walk in, which is it's a kind of 1950s, 1960s design. I'll try and get a picture of it, is listed.
When they did all the changes
and they've refurbished the Royal Festival countless times, the carpet always remains because it is listed carpet. Right. It
must be very worn down by now, surely.
It's very good carpet. Never mind the quality, feel that, no, the other way around. London Eye. Let's talk about the London Eye.
Yes, the London Eye. Well, something that I've been privileged enough to go on twice now, once during the day and once in the evening. And I have to tell you, both times were absolutely amazing. Now, with the London Eye, I don't know about you, the first thing I think of is just what an oversized Ferris wheel right in the middle of the South Bank. But apparently, I have been officially corrected, and I can confirm that it's not a Ferris wheel. It is, in fact, the world's tallest cantilevered observation wheel. I got very badly told off when I said it was a Ferris wheel.
Told you so, off?
Oh, just one of the officials there. No. They didn't like that very much. They get very protective about the London Eye, apparently. And the London Eye itself is only 13 years old. I don't know about you, but it does seem like it's been around forever.
But what I like is it is a folly, isn't it? It was only there...
5 years.
Almost as a sort of jokey celebration. It's just a temporary construction. And then we just grew to love it. And... for me, because I'm not that fond of the Shard, but I absolutely adore the London Eye because it is childlike. You know, it's the human thing of just wanting to go round and round. For me, Phil, and I'd be interested to know what you think about this, it's too slow, which is why I wouldn't get on it. If they took it up a gear and sped it round, I'd get on. I don't have the time to sit and go that slowly
minutes.
Round.
I can be precise. 25 minutes. I can be precise. The London Eye is 2 rotations per hour. So it takes half an hour to do a full rotation on the eye.
I just don't think the view's worth half an hour.
Albert, you say that, but I think that when you're on the eye, every single which way you look is a different view. Because a lot of people are under that misconception that you're just going to be stuck on this thing for half an hour and all you're going to look at is the same thing. But because the eye is so enormous, I mean, it's massive, massive structure. As soon as you get on it, I mean, before you even get on it, actually, just the platform when you're about to board the eye, if you just stop and look up at the top of the eye, it just reminds you what a dot on the earth we are. It's phenomenal. Massive.
Do you remember, Simon, when they were constructing it? Don't you remember the front page of the Evening Standard and they couldn't put it upright and all that? Was that 13 years ago, did you say?
It was 2000, for the
millennium. I still say they should offer you 2 speeds, you know, either you do the fast or the slow.
Well, maybe they could do it at different speeds at some point in the day, but it wouldn't work very well if you got on and then you said, right, what speed do you want? And half wanted slower than the other. But still, at the same time, the thought's there. But the actual view, I find, is completely different. Because as you start to sort of elevate up, you do see, yes, to the right of the river and all of the icons that are around there. And then as you go to the top, you can see on a clear day for about 23 miles around. And it's amazing to think that you are almost hugged by London in that way. It's so central that all you can do is just for miles around see the great city that we live in.
I miss it because I used to have stewards in there when it was first opened, because it was all very new. You'd be in there and you'd have a steward who would show you where things were, point out areas, and it's all quite quiet now, so no one really...
How much is it?
Well, the prices can vary. It starts off at either £17.28 for a basic ticket to go on for half an hour. That's so you queue up, you get on the eye and you just go round. Or there is anything up to £45 where there's deals with the various food companies. So say you can have a capsule all to yourself. The capsules are, of course, the pods that you travel in. And interestingly enough, by the way, do you know how many capsules there are on the eye?
33.
Close enough, 32. They're numbered up to 33 because they missed out number 13 because they think it's bad luck. But there's actually 32 capsules. And the reason for that I found fascinating because apparently it's one for every borough in London.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's
a Trivial Pursuit question. Hampstead Heath. Let's talk about Hampstead Heath because I love it. I'm not going to talk any longer about dogs, I promise you, but it truly is. And Phil, you're a dog lover. It is the best place in London to run dogs because they honestly do think they're out, you know, in the country. So that's my take on Hampstead Heath. I love it.
I was going to say, everyone enjoys Hampstead Heath, whether you've got 2 or 4 legs, because I tell you something for nothing, the dogs are having an absolute whale of a time when I went there the other day. And again, Hampstead Heath is somewhere that I do frequent quite often. I absolutely love it. And the only thing I find, the only downside about Hampstead Heath, is it's a real true test to determine just how fit one is. I'm not very fit. Climbing that hill is absolutely extraordinary. Very hard work. And it reminds me a little bit of the end credits of The Sound of Music. You know, when they're trying to climb every mountain. Don't worry, I didn't burst into song, but I was quite tempted. But the actual heath itself, I don't know whether or not you appreciate, is absolutely steeped in history. And I had absolutely no idea that apparently the first recording of it was in the year 986. That's just ages ago.
And it seems odd because the whole of London would have just
I'm trying
been
to think of, because, you know, the Spaniards Inn has got that old, you know, the narrow road where you have to queue. Well, that they've just refurbished that little hut on the right-hand side, which people say Dick Turpin slept in or something. And that's grade one listed,
I was going to say, it's listed. How yeah, they, so, they must have done everything by some serious rule books.
But also, I believe, when I'm on Hampstead Heath, I'm so happy. And someone said it's because you're so high up. I think it is the highest point in London. It's higher than Primrose Hill, isn't it? And when the higher you get, the more if you know you
the
get,
air gets thinner.
Yeah, and so you get really happy, and that's why you know everyone seems happier. So I sound like Pollyanna. No, but truly, it's just got a good vibe, that place, I think. And ponds that you can swim in.
Oh, and apparently those ponds is where the Tudors used to do their laundry. So there you go. So that's all just more this history that we're discovering. It's exciting. This is a lesson. This show.
Just very, very quickly, Tate Modern, just very quickly, Phil, that we throw that in, because is that free?
Yes, it can be. Right, very quickly. I don't know whether or not you can do the Tate Modern very quickly. I tried. I allowed myself an hour to look around the whole place, and it's just not doable. There's four floors of galleries of free art. They suggest a donation of about £4.
Right.
But you know what? Just the best way to discover the Tate Modern is go there. It's amazing. And it's really quite extraordinary what constitutes as art.
And there's good food. Indeed. Phil, Dave, thank you very much indeed. There you are. Some of the obvious things in London that are so obvious we never do them, and we should.